Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. On today's show, we're going to do a year in review with the Minnesota National Guard and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And my co-host in the studio today is retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Doug, we've got a couple of great guests today. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm absolutely ready. And I'm looking forward to having these great conversations with a couple of people I've served with. So it's going to be fun.
All right. And our first guest today is the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Larry Herkey. Commissioner, welcome back to the studio.
Thank you very much, Tom. Glad to be here.
Sir, I can't believe it. It's 2020. Here comes a new year, and you've been on the job for a few years now.
2022, and this will be 3 years for me here. I'm actually figuring things out now, and we're moving things forward. So this is great.
And, Commissioner, we can't, when we're looking back on 2021 and 2020, we can't hardly start the discussion without talking about the pandemic, worldwide pandemic. You took over, and all of a sudden things went sideways, and all of your people over there had to learn how to do their jobs remotely.
That's correct, Tom. We had overnight basically move most of our central staff and our program services staff out of their locations and to home. We had to get them cell phones and in some cases laptops and so forth so they continue to operate remotely away from the normal workplace.
So in addition to trying to take care of our over 300,000 veterans in Minnesota and encourage them to get their vaccinations, you had to worry about your staff and how to take care of those veterans in a different way.
Yes, we had to learn how to communicate, to use platform Teams that we use now habitually to talk with each other. And of course, in the case of the staff that's at the homes, we had to look at ways to protect them and the residents there. So it was a big learning curve all at one time.
And Commissioner, at the homes, and you've got quite a few of them that you take care of, was your staffing there able to keep up with the pandemic and still take care of the veterans, or did you have some help from the Minnesota National Guard?
Well, we didn't with the Guard. We did internally, though. We had help from our central staff and our program services folks. We were able to weather most of the issues as it relates to staffing through some creative processes and so forth. But we did have help internally, and it was great to have the team members from the other part of the agency to come and help us out in the homes.
And, of course, Commissioner, you've got the existing homes, and you've got three new homes that you're building. I'm betting you're hiring and training people for the existing homes and for the new ones.
We are. We've got a big push right now for certified nursing assistants. That's one of the areas that we've always had a challenge to fill all the vacancies. And it's just been a situation where we've really been a lot of focus on that with the state enterprise and specifically the Department of Higher Education that's helping us out with some of that, taking care of some of that training. But I do just want to say a shout out to the healthcare folks. They've really done an extraordinary job of keeping our residents safe and secure. And I'm glad to say that we got a 97% immunization rate amongst our residents, which is, I believe, the highest in Minnesota.
So visitation is open?
Visitation is open. We ask that you try to mask and social distance, but we have open visitation now in the homes.
And, Commissioner, in the middle of all that pandemic, the state legislature saw fit to give you some money to help our veterans.
That was extraordinary, Tom. Just I think the fastest I've ever seen state government work, within 30 days from the time it came in a conference room that I was sitting in, so the first check going out is the fastest I've ever seen. It was $6.2 million. Went for three different types of grants, a disaster relief grant, a special needs grant, and also a distance learning grant. And just my staff, again, in the program and services area just surged, and it was all hands on deck. Everyone was working grants no matter what the regular job was. So it was a great story, and we got that money out in a very timely manner.
And Commissioner, we were happy to help you promote those grants, and a lot of veterans in Minnesota got helped partially through that pandemic, which we wish was over, but hopefully we'll return to some kind of normal soon.
That's what we're hoping in 2022. We'll be able to get more to a normal operations for all aspects of the organization.
We're speaking with Larry Herkey, the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. And Commissioner, I understand despite the pandemic, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is expanding.
We are expanding. We've got lots going on here with three new homes that are slated. I just got the out brief on that yesterday. All of them are on schedule, And we're within our budget, so I'm very happy about that. And things are moving forward. We're getting out of the ground now and starting construction with steel and so forth on those three homes. So it's great. The homes, again, are in Bemidji, Preston, and in Montevideo.
And Doug, when you were in the Minnesota National Guard, this gentleman was in charge of all the facilities over there, had years and years of experience building and remodeling and taking care of facilities, and now he's doing the same thing for our veterans. How about that?
Yeah, that's interesting, and I was going to ask that question. I mean, knowing what your background is or was and the relationship we had, you did a lot for the Minnesota Guard, so I was just wondering how easy or hard was it for you to kind of step back and let your staff do their work without you having to dive in and kind of go to old habits maybe?
I think for me it was good to be there to ask the right questions and to make sure that we continue to go forward. I think it's actually made construction of these three homes, and in this case working with the Department of Administration, which does a lot of our project management, but working with these three homes I think has went well. Just being there and asking the right questions, I think it was important to keep these three projects on schedule.
And Commissioner, what's the time schedule? When can we expect these homes to come online? And when are you going to have some ceremonies to open them up?
Well, we hope in 2023 it'll be a big year. Each one has a little different construction schedule. I would say mid-year to the end of the year. We're looking at for most of these homes to come online. They had a 18-month construction schedule plan for each one of the homes.
And Commissioner, I understand more information on those can be found at the website at minnesotaveteran.org/future-homes and future residents that want to get into one of those new homes in Bemidji, Montevideo, or Preston can go to newhomesadmissions@state.mn.us. And as we mentioned earlier, you've got to be hiring and training. You're going to bring on those homes next year.
So we have hundreds of new employees that we're going to have to bring on, and most of those being in healthcare, but there are other specialties that we're going to need, human resources, and we're going to need grounds crews and so forth. So there is a little variety there. But, if you go to our website at minnesotaveteran.org, that's a great place to look for information and keep up to date on what's going on.
The MDVA is hiring. They're looking for some good people. So go to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs website and fill some of those jobs for the commissioner. Commissioner, we just got about a minute and a half left this segment, but you've got a new veterans ceremony cemetery that's under construction.
Very proud of that. We did the groundbreaking here this fall and had the opportunity on 81 acres of land just outside in Redwood County, just outside of east of Redwood Falls on Highway 71. Extraordinary location right on a very peaceful creek and great access to the site and so forth. And we're really looking forward to being able to serve those veterans that are in the southwestern part of Minnesota so they can have a cemetery near to where they live and where their families reside.
And what's the timetable on that one, sir?
Well, we're looking at this upcoming Veterans Day. We hope to do our first burial in that location. And with having the actual ribbon cutting or the dedication of the cemetery probably in the spring of 2023.
And, sir, that'll be your fourth state veterans cemetery in Minnesota. And I understand the reasoning is to try to keep those closer to where the veterans' families are.
Try to have a cemetery, either a state or national, federal cemetery, within 75 miles of every veteran in Minnesota.
And kind of the same reason you want some more homes around Minnesota to keep those veterans close to their family once again.
Correct. So the families can visit them, and that's an important part of their quality of life in these homes.
Very good, sir. Commissioner, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to speak more with the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Larry Herkey, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host today is Doug Wortham, and we've got Larry Herkey, the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, in the studio. We've been talking about COVID, and we've been talking about a new cemetery and new homes. And, Commissioner, I was lucky enough that I got to spend some time with you on the 20th anniversary of 9/11. We had a big event over at the state capitol.
Yes, Tom, we're thankful to have you as our master of ceremonies at that event, and it was a great event, I think, that honored both those veterans that did not return due to their service and those that served and did come back to the state. Many Minnesotans probably don't realize it, but over 45,000 veterans served during that time, the 20-year time period, many of them deploying many times into theater, into different theaters, Afghanistan and Iraq and other locations to serve their country.
And we had Yellow Ribbon families there, and we had the bell there, the Remembrance Bell, and we had a flyover from the 148th.
That was extraordinary. I think I could actually feel the heat coming off the engines as they went over. I was holding onto a flag, and that even that was fluttering at the time there with the flyover. But I think it was very moving, especially the saying of the names and the ringing of the bell and having the pictures of those killed in action that were memorialized before the event actually began.
A lot of folks were there that day, sir, and I understand the video of that is still available.
The video is available. You can get to that actually through our website at minnesotaveteran.org. And we actually, I think due to COVID, we had a sort of a smaller group there that day, but we've had thousands of people that have actually seen that event online, and it's still available today for you to go to minnesotaveteran.org and you can see it in its entirety.
I might have to look at that, sir, and see how we did.
I was going to say, you can see yourself and if you made any mistakes during the event. I think you were pretty perfect, though, that day.
I made a couple of mistakes on the show so far today, but I think we did a good job that day, and we certainly honored all those folks that have served over that 20 years.
Yes, it was an extraordinary event to honor our heroes that have served.
And Commissioner, we've talked before, you've got a special relationship with Governor Walz. At one time when you were both in the Guard, he worked for you, and now he's the governor of the state of Minnesota, and you're working for him, but you're working together on a couple of his priorities, and one of them is to see what we can do to eliminate or slow down veteran suicide.
Yeah, we know each year, Tom, in Minnesota that we have over 100 veterans that take their lives through suicide, which is, it's a shame to lose one veteran, but to lose over 100 each year is just unacceptable. So we know that suicide is something that is preventable. We know that that we're going to need the help and assistance of not only family members but community members to be able to overcome the situation, to set the right conditions so this doesn't happen. And we have some goals for reduction and finally elimination of veteran suicide in the future in Minnesota. And I'm just grateful to the legislature that provided $1.1 million over the next biennium to be able to have a program within the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
And you've been able to use a portion of that to add some personnel to work on this.
We have. We have two individuals that have come on, and they've really put some power and a lot of enthusiasm behind this. They come with great experience, and I think we're going to do a great job. We're putting together many different focuses. The one that we've had initially here is on lethal means, which is most veterans actually use some type of a firearm when they commit suicide. And we would like to get a situation where we would reduce that. And it really takes just a little bit of time, and usually that can be gained through a gun lock. And over the last couple months, I think 3 months or so, we've had about 15,000 gun locks that have been distributed through our county veteran service officers. And I just applaud the work that we've done as a group and organization to get those gun locks out, provided by the federal government, distributed through the state and the county veteran service officers.
And, sir, once again, on your website at minnesotaveteran.org/endvetsuicide, there's more information, and the crisis line is 1-800-273-8255. Press 1. And, Commissioner, we've talked about this in the past, but for the families of veterans out there, they need to watch their veterans, and if they see a change, if they see them drinking more, if they see them depressed, if they see them changing their activity somehow, they need to ask the question, are you okay?
Correct. I was recently with the mayor of St. Cloud, and he was discussing his brother's situation where he took his life. And I just, the signs were there, but he didn't recognize them. So I think this is just great that everyone here is involved with this. And like I said, it's going to take the family members and the community working together. And I know the Veteran Service Organizations are very supportive of this effort also.
Once again, that crisis line is 1-800-273-8255. Press 1. We're speaking with Larry Herkey, the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And, Commissioner, the other priority that the governor has said and that you've told us you're working on hard with a lot of organizations is ending veteran homelessness. We're making some progress.
Yes, we are, Tom. And when I first came in 3 years ago, I thought this would be an area that we could focus in on. But I think COVID has had a great impact on that. We actually had a surge of homeless veterans during the COVID time period. But we're making great strides now. We have our partners at the federal VA with the HUD-VASH vouchers, which are rental assistance and wraparound services. We've mimicked that now with the state legislature providing over $6 million over the next 2 years to do what we call MenVest, which is, again, a rental voucher and wraparound services. And we think we have everything in place now except for one item, Tom, and that's
landlords.
That's actual landlords. And I've been on here before and asked for help and assistance. I'm going to say in this case, go to our website and just put in the chat there or in the question area. And if you have, if you're a landlord or know a landlord that's willing to help us with our homeless veterans, we have many incentives to be able to provide to make sure you're protected as a landlord. And I just ask that you contact us and provide that feedback, and we'll make sure we contact you, and we'll get this done. 2022 is going to be the year, I feel, Tom, and just look forward to getting be the fourth state to get to functional zero as it relates to veterans homelessness.
And Commissioner, I see here that over 400 veterans were housed in 2020. I don't have the numbers for 2021 yet, but you have the funds to help pay for that housing, so you're not asking the landlords to give it away.
No, we'll keep that unit. Once you commit to us, we'll keep that unit full with a veteran. If a veteran moves on because of economic is doing better and wants to move somewhere else or is being taken care of other locations, we'll help fill that apartment again. So it's a situation we create a relationship. We're looking at it long term, and we're there to help even if there's issues with the veteran during the time that they're there as a person that's leasing from them.
Very good, sir. Commissioner, we've got about a minute left. Where can people learn more about MDVA? And if they want to go to work with you and help with the homes and all the services that you provide for the veterans, how do they do that?
Well, I think, again, Minnesota Veteran, that's one word together, .org is a good place to start. You can get all the information that that we have. The other place is, if you don't like websites and you want to call someone, call 1-888-LINK-VET. Again, 1-888-LINK-VET. And they can answer just about any veteran-related question. If they can't, they'll find the answer for you or make sure that you get to the right person. And I just wanted to say we've been open for business the entire time COVID's been here. We look forward to serving our veterans going forward. So don't be afraid to try to get in contact with us. We're there for you.
Commissioner, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. Come see us again at the studio, and I hope you and all your folks at the MDVA have a great year in 2022.
Yes, Tom. We'll make sure that everyone's taken care of in 2022, and just a shout-out to all the veterans. Stay warm out there.
Thank you, sir. That was Larry Herkey, the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll talk to Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mackey. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host in the studio today is Doug Wortham, and we have a very special guest in the studio today. Doug, do you know this gentleman?
Absolutely, I do. And it's just great to see General Sean Mackey, the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, here in the studio with us. Sir, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Doug, for letting me be here. And, Tom, it's always good to see you again. Happy New Year to both of you.
Happy New Year, sir. General, this is the show you might recall last year where we look back a year to see what happened and go kind of wow and then look forward and see what's coming up. I think we thought last year at the end of the year we were hoping the pandemic was over, but 2021, we got new versions of it and it's still with us and your troops are still working to help with the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. We have right now we got almost 700 soldiers on duty supporting the COVID effort and the various things for the state and the Minnesota Department of Health. And it's really been a busy fall. You know, we had everybody off of 502F orders around Labor Day weekend, and it's certainly gone the wrong way, I guess. And we're here doing what our community needs us to do and our state needs us to do. But on top of all that, you know, we've really been busy with our federal mission over the last year as well.
In general, we had a little surprise last January because there was some problems happened out in Washington, D.C., and I understand you had to use your C-130s to transport troops, and a lot of the Minnesota National Guard troops were out there helping secure the inauguration for the new president.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, we had the events that happened, you know, a year ago, January 6th, and so we were out there for the inauguration of President Biden, and we sent over 750 soldiers and airmen out there to help with the security of the Capital Region, and by and large, about 95% of those people we transported out there on our own 133rd Tactical Airlift, get them out there fast, expeditiously, and they were there to do their mission. And, of course, we had to bring them back because we had this Chauvin trial going on, so we used that same C-130 Tactical Airlift of the 133rd Airlifting to get them back in a rapid manner. And, you know, they performed magnificently out there like they always do. You know, and that's what amazes me the most, the professionalism of the Minnesota National Guard soldiers and airmen. We just keep asking them to do different things, and because of the training that they get preparing for their federal mission, they're able to execute just about anything in a professional and efficient manner.
In general, I understand while they were out there on that special mission, they got to see an old friend, Lieutenant General Jensen, stop by to say hello.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, General Jensen is out there as the director of the Army National Guard and doing great things not only for the state of Minnesota but really the entire National Guard force. And anytime a Minnesotan gets out there in the Capital Region, if General Jensen's got the time, he certainly makes time to stop by, see them, and to show his appreciation for what those Minnesota National Guard soldiers and airmen do.
In general, we got a report from your command sergeant major last week that you've still got quite a few troops out on federal deployments, including the one of the 194. Are they coming home soon?
Well, the 194, we hope to have them back in the United States, you know, by the end of January, early February. And they're making their way back, you know, and they have performed magnificently as well. You know, they were heavily involved with the evacuation of Afghanistan at the Kabul airport. And, you know, they've done great things and really set the standard for what it is to rapidly respond from Kuwait into another theater and then respond on a moment's notice to get people out of there when needed.
Sir, I understand part of their mission on that deployment is to have a rapid reaction force standing by for anything that happens in the neighborhood in those countries. And it was reported that once the problem started at Kabul Airport, which came up very quickly, they were put on notice, and they had 48 hours to get over there, and within about 24 hours, they were ready to go.
Yeah, you know, interestingly enough, in about 24 hours, they were on the ground in Afghanistan doing what they were trained to do. And the soldiers, you know, and the professionalism of the soldiers and then the skill sets that the National Guard brings, they were able to do some things that they'd learned from their civilian jobs. You know, most of our force are traditional soldiers, so they have other civilian jobs. But some of the skill sets that they learned in their civilian jobs, welding and whatnot, they were able to reinforce barriers for certain gates and get vehicles running that weren't running and able to expedite the evacuation of those people from Afghanistan.
So in a lot of cases, your guard troops bring two occupations, the one that their MOS in the Army and whatever they did as civilians. And so they're maybe more useful than somebody that can only do one job and do it well.
Well, and I would say you're absolutely spot on, Tom. It's, you know, we have carpenters, we have electricians, we have welders, you know, doctors, lawyers, everything. And they do their military skill, whether it be on the air or the Army. But then they have their skill set that they have from their civilian jobs that they can multitask and do different things for us. So they're truly a multiplier in a combat theater, any theater. And that's why we value our people so much.
We're speaking with Major General Sean Mankey on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, I wanted to also, in addition to the federal deployments, we talked a little bit about the state call-ups. I understand you had a record number of troops called up last year on all kinds of occasions to help with the pandemic and civil strife and a lot of things. It was a big year.
Yeah, you know, and like I said, it's we ask a lot of our soldiers and our airmen, you know, and if we rewind the clock, we look at we had the Chauvin trial, so Operation Safety Net for that, where we partnered with Department of Public Safety, the Minnesota State Patrol, Minneapolis Police Department, really to provide security in the Minneapolis Twin Cities areas, primarily to protect people's First Amendment rights and to let them do what they need to do without damage to critical infrastructure. And then of course, we moved into, you know, what I would call the second phase of the pandemic this fall, and we had a lot of people that we put on orders for that. And that's in a federal status, a 502F status, so they're getting all the federal benefits, luckily. But they're running testing sites, long-term care sites, and transitional care sites, supporting those so that we can help with the pandemic here in the state of Minnesota.
Sir, with all of the activity that's been going on with inside the Minnesota National Guard, how has that affected you and your ability as an organization to tackle the three priorities that you set when you came in as the Adjutant General back in 2020? I understand that you wanted to tackle the priorities of people, modernization, and partnership. So how have you been able to do that in this time of uncertainty, I guess?
Yeah, so the people, as I've said multiple times, are our number one priority, and we focused on really we want to be a representation of the communities that we live in, we serve in, and we work in. So we have increased our diversity, race, ethnic, gender across the force, and we continue to focus on that. So that's building in that priority, and then really trying to treat people with dignity and respect and want them to continue to serve, because if we can't keep our formations full, then we can't do our mission, and we have been able to keep our formations full. As far as a partnership, this last year, we celebrated the 25th anniversary of our state partnership with Croatia, and we continue to partner with them as they modernize their force, and you know, they're fielding UH-60 Mike Blackhawks, the same things we have here. And then we're continuing to move forward with modernization of our own equipment. I think we have one of the 125 is going to get new howitzers this next year, and then we're continuing to press other envelopes on that as we move forward, and then just continuing to evolve those three priorities.
In general, is this with all of this work and all of the large number of state missions going on and your federal training, what does that do to you when you're trying to modernize the force and add equipment and upgrade everything for the future?
Well, I mean, it we're busy, but, you know, the heart and soul is we take care of our people. We try to take care of our people, and then we train for our federal mission, and that allows everything else to kind of fall into place. And you can see that the Minnesota National Guard is the first division to receive division artillery, so the DeVardi. And I'm happy to say that because of our readiness and the legacy of the 34th Infantry Division and all the great things that they do, they were selected to be the Army National Guard Penetration Division as the Army modernized into multi-domain operations. So it's the one division in the National Guard that will be a penetration division.
Very good, sir. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to speak more with Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host in the studio today is Doug Wortham, and we've been speaking to Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey, about 2021 and all the federal deployments, state call-ups, the pandemic. Been a busy time. But, General, I want to ask you a little bit. One of your priorities was modernization. I want to get to that in partnerships, but on the modernization front, you also have the air side. You're not just the Army. You're the Adjutant General of the Air National Guard, and that includes the 148th and the F-16s up in Duluth and the 133rd with the C-130s in Minneapolis. What kind of shape are we in there, sir?
Well, you know, let's take the 148th first, Tom. So the 148th fighter wing up in Duluth, you know, the good news there is they fly the Air Force's most newest F-16s. They're a little bit old, but they're F-16 Block 50s. We think we're in a pretty good spot there, but we are continuing to move forward, look at what's next for the 148th. But there's, as the Air Force goes through its fighter roadmap, they're in a pretty good spot. We're always looking for the next generation fighter. I'm not sure if that'll be the F-35 or something next after the F-35, but you know, Colonel Blomquist up there, the wing commander, he's setting the standard for what they're doing with their maintenance and their manning and their soldier or their airman readiness. And then if we look at the 133rd next here in Minneapolis-St. Paul, You know, they've got H3 models, which are not the most current C-130s. So we would love to get them in the J model, and we will continue to advocate for that. But, you know, they're also modernizing their H models. So there's plans for new props, new prop controllers, and new avionics packages in them that will be part of that modernization. And ultimately, we want to continue to move forward and hopefully get them J models. You know, one of the things that we have going against us is some of the budgetary conflicts within the Air Force, where they're a little bit tight on money, and they have said that they want to get their total aircraft inventory in C-130s down to 255. So as they continue to push for that, we need to continue to make sure that we man the 133rd effectively, and they're well over 100% right now, and they always have been, but we'll use that as a tool to hopefully get them selected for new modern aircraft.
In general, it's important to note that the Minnesota National Guard has a federal and state mission. So not only the C-130s get used on federal missions, like when you took the troops out to Washington, D.C. last year, but they get used on state missions, and you've been using them a lot.
Yeah, and not only the aircraft, but all the airmen that are over there. I mean, we've used their security police for some of the civil unrest. We've used their medical professionals for the COVID response, and we continue to use that. And you know, the dual role of the 133rd and the 148th is their Air National Guard. So, you know, they work for the governor, and the governor can control some of the things that they do by putting them on state active duty.
Sir, I'd like to jump in here and kind of shift gears and talk a little bit about partnerships. We've all seen multiple examples of how partnerships with the Minnesota Guard has been extremely important, whether it's local law enforcement, CNA support. But what about the other partnerships external to Minnesota? We hear about Norway. We hear about Croatia. How do these partnerships help the Minnesota Guard, the National Guard as a whole, or even those partner countries?
Yeah, so, you know, our longest-running partnership is our reciprocal troop exchange with Norway. And this year we celebrate our 49th year of that, and the 50th year will be coming up in a year, and we're looking to try and do something special for that. You know, the last 2 years, it's been a little tough with the pandemic, but we're still optimistic that hopefully this year we'll be able to execute that reciprocal troop exchange. And when you look at what's going on in the world, you know, right now the two big concerns are Russia and China. So you look at the high north, you look at Norway, Sweden, Finland, you know, right next to the Russian border, and our partnership with Norway helps with that. And what it does for our soldiers is it allows soldiers in Iran, it allows us to get them over to Norway to experience their culture, but more importantly, train on some of the winter survival skills that we can obviously do here in Minnesota. But the Norwegians are truly experts at that craft. And you know, I would argue it's a retention tool as well. And then likewise, we bring their soldiers and airmen here, and reciprocate on this side with great training up at Camp Ripley. And then you hit on a little bit Croatia. You know, we celebrated our 25th anniversary with Croatia this last summer, and just a great partner in the Partnership for Peace. And they're fielding some of the same equipment that we have in Minnesota. They're fielding UH-60 Mike models, and we hosted some of their pilots here earlier this summer to do some training. And then we've got some maintainers here. And then likewise, we reciprocate that, sending them over there so that they can pick up on what's going on over there. And ideally have a subject matter expert if they have questions that they can reach back to. And, you know, there's plans for future modernization with Croatia as well as they modernize their force. But and then we do it, you know, at the soldier level, sergeant major, you know, and some of the groundwork that you laid when you were the CSEL for the state of Minnesota with senior NCOs going over there and training, and, you know, the best warrior competition. And we actually invited some of them over here for the biathlon this winter if we're able to make that happen. So just trying to set that at the lower level so that the relationship continues to mature as those soldiers and airmen grow up.
General, we've got the one of the 194 coming home soon. When you look forward to this year, 2022, are things going to settle down maybe just a little bit?
Yeah, we get the 194 Ford that's coming back, and that's probably our biggest size element that is deployed, but we've had many, many units deployed. We had 10194, we had the 34th MPs, we had our Chinooks out of St. Cloud, And then so when they come back, we're going to have kind of a little bit of a pause. And then we have our regional support group going out the door here in late March. But really, our federal mobilizations for this year on the Army side are down. Now, on the air side, the 148th has a pretty significant mobilization coming up. But the overall volume of numbers of Minnesota National Guard soldiers and airmen deployed for this 22 year are going to be less than what they have been.
Sir, give your troops a chance to catch their breath a little bit and get to know their families a little bit. But I want to talk about recruiting and retention. We just got a couple of minutes left, General. You have to recruit a large number of troops every year just to make up for retirements and people that are reaching the end of their careers. How's that all going? And how's the response from our communities and our citizens in Minnesota?
So, Tom, our strength is very well in the Army. I think we're about 109%. So if we had 100 soldiers, we'd have 109, maybe 109%. But you multiply that across our nearly 10,700 Army soldiers that we have in the Guard. And then if you look on the air side, they're about 101, 102% respectively between the 133rd and the 148th. And that's about the sweet spot on the air side, just the way the funding works. But we have we try to put it on the Army side. We try to put on about 1,600 to 1,700 soldiers a year. And we've had a couple good months, but there's always room for good soldiers and airmen in the Minnesota National Guard. And I would tell you that one of the benefits that we offer over some of the other components is you can serve here in the state of Minnesota, and there's plenty of benefits, but we're members of the community. So we live here, we work here, and more than ever over the past couple of years, we've served here. And you also get the opportunity to serve federally. Like I said, the 148th is deploying overseas. We have other units, 1194 is in Kuwait right now, and they'll be coming back. But there's always that opportunity to get out and see the world, and you can always serve here in the state as well.
And an opportunity to expand your family to other soldiers and airmen that you work with while you're serving.
Yeah, and I would argue it's like serving on a team. For those of you that served on a swim team, a football team, a basketball team, whatever the case may be, you're just simply a club. It's a camaraderie that you build with these soldiers and airmen once you join the Minnesota National Guard that you will take with you for the rest of your life.
General, thanks for coming to see us in the studio today, and I hope you have a great year in 2022.
Thanks, Tom, and thanks, Doug. Great being here today. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Great to see you.
That was Major General Sean Mankey, Minnesota's Adjutant General on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is Josh Benega, who is the Lacaille-Parle County Veteran Service Officer. Josh, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Glad to be here, Tom.
Josh, we usually have the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers on, but he said you were going to enlighten us today about the things, the highlights from 2021 and the goals for 2022.
Yes, sir. President Howes had to be with his family. His father was having surgery, so he had to help his mother out. So,
well, we wish him all the best.
Yep.
Well, let's talk about 2021. It was the second year of the pandemic, and it's been affecting everything for 2 years. But I know that you and your fellow county veteran service officers are out there still working hard to take care of our veterans.
Yes, our association kept busy during the pandemic. They offered numerous training opportunities over technology for us, as well as our executive board held more regular meetings. We didn't have to travel, so it was all done over Zoom or WebEx or one of those platforms.
Josh, I know that you guys try to have a spring and a fall conference so you can get together and get up to date on your training and everything. How'd that work?
It worked well. We actually had our fall conference in person, and we emphasized in person. But we also told membership, use your discretion on masks or, the safety if you want to attend the conference or not. Otherwise, we have offered plenty of training opportunities for people to complete, while working from home.
Josh, I know you guys work closely with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. We had the commissioner on the show today, and he was talking about groundbreakings for 3 new veteran homes. Were you with him?
Yes, sir, I was. I was at the groundbreaking for the Montevideo Veterans Home, which was about 30 miles from where I live here in Madison, as well as the Veterans Cemetery in Redwood Falls, where where there were a bunch of us, were there for the groundbreakings of each one.
And those are all set to come online later this year and next year, and it's going to be great to have more beds, more rooms for our veterans in those veterans' homes.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So what are you looking forward for in 2022? What's the highlight? What are your goals for the County Veteran Service Officers?
We're looking to continue to provide excellent training opportunities for our association members, both online as well as in person. Continue to have a seat at the table with our stakeholders regarding benefits and programs for Minnesota veterans. In the last couple of years, we've actually branched out and gotten invited to more advocacy opportunities, and we want to keep that going.
I understand you've been working closely with the Commander's Task Force, which is made up of the 8 federally chartered veteran service organizations as well.
Yes, and actually, a little bit of personal background. I served with the department commander of the VFW, Major Hendrickson, this year.
Very good.
Yep.
We just got a few seconds left, Josh. What else is coming up you're looking forward to?
We're looking to continue to create awareness for county veteran service offices through the state of Minnesota. It's amazing where you go, wherever, some places you go, they didn't know that offices like us exist in Minnesota counties. And so we try to educate people as much as possible that we're a local resource for veterans to come to when it comes to seeking help for their benefits.
Very good, Josh. Thanks for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Glad to be here, Tom. Thank you very much.
This is Josh Benega from the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. We're just about out of time. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us today, Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey, Josh Benega from the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. Please join us next week for our year-in-review show with the Minnesota Homeland Security Emergency Management and Governor Walz. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.